No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote.
Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show, which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion by calling in at 888-627-6008, or you can Skype your questions to BBSRADIO and the number 1. Tonight, we have a special guest, Greg May. Greg has started, well, we'll let Greg tell you what he's doing, but Greg thinks that the way to deal with getting statehood for the District of Columbia may actually be, rather than through our hearts, through our funny bone. And I agree with him. I think that humor has always played a role and still does play a role in social justice issues. So we're happy to have Greg with us tonight, and we're going to talk about this, and hopefully you'll get a few laughs and a little insight into what our problem is. Greg, are you with us?
I'm here.
All right, great. Tell us what you're doing, Greg. Explain it to us.
Well, we're running stand-ups for D.C., stand-ups with an S, because it focuses on having stand-up comics present bring enough attention to the issue so that people who might not otherwise be focused on politics will also get exposed to some, of course, very important issues, specifically D.C. statehood, and at the same time, in a way that they get a chance to enjoy the process. So lots of attention through comedy.
Well, and you know what? This is really, right, this is to carry on a tradition that goes way, way back, right? We've always made fun of political issues, and I mean, whether you look at Mark Twain, you go back as far as Mark Twain, or just Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor. Hello? And George Carlin. You're with us. You know, the Smothers Brothers, Saturday Night Live. There's a long tradition of this, so this is really cool. And as I told you earlier, I wrote a bunch of stand-up and did it in front of the Stein Club one night, and it just went crazy. It just worked like crazy. So tell us about your experience. Where have you done this so far?
Mostly locally. There are a lot of open mics you can get to. We're setting up right now a list of venues, so along with the comedy, we also have some other things planned. So we're kind of organizing, getting supporters through the crowds in the comedy. But we have some other things planned, such as D.C.'s red carpet protest.
I saw that on your website. What is that?
That is, I was thinking that one of the reasons we... we've been in this condition so long is that probably we just, you know, it's a matter of all of D.C. saying that, you know, okay, enough is enough. And I think to do that, we're going to have to disrupt a little bit. But I didn't want to do something that would create hardship, especially for D.C. citizens or their businesses. I thought if we do the exact opposite and get people to want to help us, and at the same time we could help our businesses. So the businesses that will support and maybe host some of the stand-up shows and help organize, maybe they'll give out some of the flyers and maybe put a poster in the window, things that they can do. But also they'll hopefully be willing to roll out their red carpet. They'll add a little bit of a cherry on top to what they normally do for their service, maybe a discount or something like that. But getting all the vendors or as many as possible, all of our businesses, I mean, the Redskins, everybody should be involved in trying to get statehood. And so that's the idea, that we engage at our monuments. We have our staycations. When we go out, we take some flyers and we take pictures. And, you know, we're normally helpful to people that come into the city to, you know, vacation, sightsee, or what have you, even protest. And we want to help them and hopefully ask that they return the favor and go back home and be a stand-up for D.C.
Well, you know, it's a great idea, and I think in that this is one of our biggest problems is that America doesn't understand the situation we're in. And we get literally millions and millions of visitors a year because we're the nation's capital. And if we could send these people, just send them away with a sense of what our problem is, I think we'd go a long way in resolving it, because local D.C. Vote did a survey that shows that 80% of America thinks that we have the same rights that they do. Why wouldn't you think that, right?
A lot of D.C. citizens think the same thing.
Yeah. Isn't that strange that a lot of D.C. citizens think that? So we have an education problem on both fronts, nationally and locally, and certainly stand-up would be a great way to get it across locally, I think. Tell me also your March with Washington. What is that?
Well, in the same vein of the red carpet, that instead of you know, hitting people over the head when they come in and demanding or doing something that makes us less popular, I think doing the opposite, and that is getting people to bond with us, getting people to identify with you know, the school teacher and everybody, the police officer, everyone in D.C. that is just like they are. And instead of marching on Washington, they'll march with us. I wanted to do it first through Twitter and see if we can't get a lot of support there. And then from there, hopefully, hopefully we won't need to. But if we do, if we don't have to do it because we have statehood, then hopefully it'll be a celebration. But if it comes to it before then, I'd like to see a march with Washington. People are coming here for everything else. They should come here and you know, support us for at least one huge time. They should come here and support us like we normally support them when they come here.
Well, yeah, that's, again, I think you really understand the problem that we have with this issue, because that's another problem that we have, is that, you know, people acknowledge the problem, but they don't support it. You know, they don't do stuff to support it. When we ask people, do you believe that the district should be equal, everybody says yes. But it's like asking people if you believe in world peace. You know, do you believe in world peace?
Yeah.
Sure, I believe in world peace. But, you know, what are you actually doing for world peace? You know, that's really the question. So, again, you have a really good understanding of this, Greg. And how did you come by that understanding? You're a native Washingtonian?
I am. And a few different things. You know, for one, I you know, was in Maryland for a while and got used to voting for representatives.
You
come back to D.C. and realize that, hey, you know, that's, I would liken it to those that are you know, really staunch Second Amendment advocates, that, you know, it would be like someone saying to them, you have the right to bear arms, but you can't have any ammunition.
Right.
And, you know, I think the other part of it is that, you know, as we look at the representation. I would say I had a hashtag. It's the Congress, stupid.
Yeah.
And everything that you know pretty much stalls our government. Even the things that you know we get through and don't work, and things don't work quite right. A lot of that originates in the rules and the way the Congress functions. And you know, when President Obama came to office, you really you know were hit over the head with the idea that you know there's absolutely no help in Congress, and you know D.C. citizens. You know, especially had no representation. In fact, a lot of the people were, you know, some of the people were choosing to be king for a day. They'd make rules for D.C., knowing that, you know, they wouldn't even do the same thing in their own home state. But since they couldn't be, you know, affected by a vote, they had no reservations about, you know, weighing in. So,
well, and we see that all the time. I mean, you're absolutely right. We see it now with our death with dignity law that we passed that the Congress mm-hmm. is screwing with, and some of the proponents, the leading proponents against the death with dignity, have death with dignity in their own states.
Yeah, but exactly.
But right, and they won't oppose it. They won't oppose it in their state, but they'll come to the district and do that. And it's a big problem, especially with guns, you know, that we have very tough mm-hmm. gun laws. So our delegate, Eleanor Holmes Norton, spends a lot of time trying to just fight off the guys that want to change our gun laws to make curry favor with the NRA and others. So that's a real problem. Well, let me tell you.
I wanted you to know I'm in the conversation.
Oh, good.
Michael. Yeah,
all right.
I've been here, but
Maria,
I think that's
hey.
Hi. I just
say hello
to
Greg.
In terms of the grassroots that you're doing, I love everything that you've said thus far. Are you getting any help? Do you have support? Do you have an ad hoc committee? Do you have volunteers? What about the folks that have signed off on it that are throughout the United States?
Yes, that's exactly pretty much where I am now. There are a lot of things to get set up. And I've done quite honestly most of that myself with the website and all those other things. So right now we've launched. We have some comics on board, and you know we're lacing up our shoes and trying to get this to really take off. There are some other aspects to it that you know are more long term. Once we get going, one of the things. Another reason I wanted to focus on comics was that we have, I think, entertainment draws more media attention, and most of the media tends to ignore it. I was shocked that, people would in the media would cover things like the name of our football team, and just ignore the fact that. You know, you could be a dreamer, you could be, you know, LBG, BLT, I don't know what else, but whatever your issue is, if you live in the district, you just don't get any representation for that. So, I don't think we should, so I think the idea is to get enough media attention, and what I would really love to see is every Democrat that has a mic in front of them and is in a race that they need to put their opponent, if their opponent opposes D.C. statehood, and get them on the record for exactly why it is they are not in favor of representative democracy for U.S. citizens. And if that's not what they prefer, to spell out exactly what they think, what they do favor. What form of government do you think is appropriate for the U.S.? I can't see a politician not loving the idea of getting their opponent on record being against representative democracy.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, one of the craziest things I've always thought, Greg, is that you're telling people in Washington, D.C. that this is what we do for a living, and you're telling us that we have no voice. It's kind of like telling the people of of Detroit that they can't drive cars, or the people of LA that they can't go to the movies. You know, this is what we do, and we have an important voice, but we don't have a voice in our own federal legislature. It's just crazy. So let me ask you, now I need to ask your professional opinion, Greg. I wrote a bunch of stand-up jokes for a routine I did, and I wanna do them for you, and you got to give me your honest opinion, okay?
All right, I'm ready.
All right, okay. How many Washingtonians does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know. I give up.
It only takes one, but Congress has to approve the change. Okay. Why do our license plates say taxation without representation? What's the real reason?
I don't know. You have to tell me.
It's because "give me my rights under the Constitution, you friggin' idiots" was too long to put on a license plate. What do you call a resident? What do you call a resident of Washington that has all his rights?
Not a Washingtonian.
A Maryland citizen.
Yeah.
Congressman.
Okay. There you go.
All right. And what do you get? This is the last one, and then I'll let you go. We'll proceed. What do you get when you cross a Washingtonian with a nun?
Something about celibacy.
I better let you.
You get somebody with no rights and no wrongs.
Okay.
So that's it. That was my best shot. But I want you to know that the people at the, you know, it was a statehood rally, and people just went nuts. They loved it, you know, even
Did
though
they?
I'm sure you're writing better stuff. But I think it'll really work. And, you know, I also have an affection for what you do, because my daughter, my oldest daughter, performs with the amateur group of Second City Theater in Chicago. So we're all about the comedy thing. So what are your plans for the future?
Mainly just to see about getting as much recognition through the getting entertainers. I'd like to see starting with DC Comics to broaden it out to all comics, you know, in the U.S. Especially. You know, a lot of things you do, you find that even people overseas support it.
Right.
So I'd love to see just about all the comics, and with other comics coming on board, more entertainers, because they, you know, for whatever reason, you know, we really, you know, hold them up and pay attention to things that they do as news. And, you know, I think that's one of the main things we need. So I'd love to see a lot of the DC comics come support it. For those that don't know, you know, the Dave Chappelle's, the Wanda Sykes. I could go on and on with DC comics that,
is that
are,
right?
are, you know, internationally known. Oh, yeah. David, he was on In Living Color. The name escapes me right now, but all these guys are really, really famous. Martin Lawrence. All these people are DC comics. You know, we've been cranking out some top-notch comedy for forever. So
do you have a way to reach
the Congress
them?
Alone has been cranking out DC comedy forever.
Yeah, definitely. Not comics, but comedy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So, Greg,
do you have a way to reach them?
I am starting that process. I've contacted a few. DC Benny, he's in New York, and there are a lot around. What I wanted to do initially, or one of the other things I wanted to do as well, was to put a spotlight on some of our upcoming local comics.
You're breaking up a little bit, Greg. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe because you're on a cell phone. You could
Let me adjust a little bit.
Much better.
Because I wanted to do a lot more local, small shows, if I could do what I want to do, there'd be a whole bunch of small shows going on all over the city, and probably the DMV. And then we'd have bigger shows at you know, bigger venues with the top town that I was, you know, speaking of a second ago. But so right now I've reached out to the local group, and we'll be putting together those initial shows. I want to get people into, you know, some Stand Up for DC t-shirts, get those images on the websites, and just get a buzz going. And then I think from there I'd stand a better chance of contacting some of the other ones and making a bigger show.
Because education is a part of it. Because if even the folks in D.C. aren't as aware of it, and the rest of us, I'm in Los Angeles, a lot of people, as Michael was saying, the senator was saying, that you, I would think you'd have to give a preamble a little bit before you started into the comedy, because the absurdity of your situation might be lost through their ignorance.
Yes. With a lot of the smaller shows in the area, the purpose would be twofold. One, of course, would be to educate, but then also to kind of organize some troops and start multiplying the effort. So as I mentioned earlier, we're kind of just kicking things off. So I will need a lot of the support in different areas, and you know, I think as we grow and everybody's participating, and you know, it'll be a lot more enjoyable if people are participating. And
well, you know, first of all, Maria, what you just said is so important. It's like the joke about the light bulb. You know, that Congress has to approve the change. Most people wouldn't get that. Washingtonians get it because they know that everything we do has to be approved by Congress. But most people wouldn't get that. So you're absolutely right by that. And you know what? Comedy leads the way a lot of times. I go back sometimes and I look at like Carol O'Connor and All in the Family. And I think to myself, boy, this is some racist stuff. Boy, this guy is, you know, but we all laughed at it, right? And it moved the movement. You know, when you look at the context in which it was done, it moved things forward. You know, it made us confront the stupidity of these old racist attitudes that, you know, we had in America. So I think comedy is really, really important thing. And I think you're on the right track.
Thing that Greg can attest to is that the bottom line is, comedy is truth, which is why it's funny. And so if people have the information, that's going to make the program even more entertaining because they get it.
Right.
And people can relate to it, especially through comedy, just like nobody hated Archie Bunker. You understood and you got to see his processes. And, you know, through that, It made a lot of the issues something that both sides could understand and move forward on because of the way it was presented.
Right.
And you know what? We have a new phenomenon, I think, in American politics, this new obsession with political correctness. And you know, comedy is a way to deal with that as well, right? Is that you know, you couldn't be any more in politically incorrect than Archie Bunker was, you know, and this is kind of a way we get so sensitive about things politically. We hang on every word that each politician says. But if you can make light of the situation, I think it humanizes it and it puts it in perspective for people. I think you're exactly right, Greg.
Well, and Greg, I thought your example about the guns and the ammunition was brilliant. Because, you're an American citizen, and then you don't have all the rights of the other 50 states.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard some people's argument, you know, on the other side of the issue, and it really sticks out like an Archie Bunker statement. It's just not logical, especially when you can point to other instances where that person proclaims that their values are this, or they're, you know, they're a staunch advocate for that. And, you know, we actually have more outrage about...
You're cutting out again, Greg.
Everybody not being allowed to vote in Mosul than we
right.
do in the United States. You know, as a matter of fact, in other countries, when the elections are proven to be tainted in some way, they do them over again. But that's not, you know, our type of thing here. But and yet we will help somebody else have an election in another country and, you know, get some ink out and take some fingerprints to run it. There are a lot of things that we do overseas and argue for and advocate for, and yet D.C. seems to be like something that's completely, not subject to the same logic that these other things are.
I'm sorry, Maria. I just came back from Scotland, Greg, from an international meeting, and you mentioned earlier that, you know, you want to get this outside the United States as well. And you're absolutely right. Again, it really is well received, because there we are as America, Trump and all over the world trying to spread democracy, and we don't have democracy in our nation's capital. And one of the Republicans that used to be a cabinet secretary who went over to China one time told us that in a public hearing one time. He said that's why he stood for D.C. statehood, because as soon as he got to China, this was Jack Kemp. The first thing they said to him is, don't lecture us about human rights when you don't even let the people of your capital city vote. You know,
wow.
So they get it. And it's very powerful. I've seen your website. I think it's very cool. Tell us what the website is so our listeners can get onto it.
Log on.
It is standups with an S, standupsfordc.org. And, it tells about what we're doing, and it has different areas where you can sign up for, you know, whatever you'd like to participate with. Some are for merchants that would like to be listed as a stand-up merchant for the red carpet protest. Some are just for, you know, volunteers for different areas. So it's a little something that, you know, for everyone, and if nothing else, an education for those that are curious about, you know, what D.C. statehood is all about.
Yeah, and you can have fun and make a better world. You know, I mean, it's a win-win, right? Because you can have a good time doing this, and you know, and this is an important issue.
Yes, we're going to have stand-ups with the shows that we're going to be having around town. Will also be, of course, edited and made into shows. So that we'll have a call to action. It'll explain, you know, what our current activities are, but also it will we'll be able to put it up, and it'll be our YouTube channel. We'll have it on DC cable. I have the production certificate to do DC TV. So we'll be taking those shows and putting them on the air, and hopefully getting more and more attention for the issue and get those people to, you know, march with Washington and roll out the red carpet and everything else we can do until we have.
I would imagine, too, that the demographic that you probably would be attracting is probably not one that is as aware and or as concerned as older folks. So I think your information dissemination would probably be a great place to start, because you're going to start from the ground floor up, if you will, so that they can share it with their elders and with their elders, sort of thing. Michael, would you agree with me about that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and another important thing that you may not know, which Greg probably knows, but you may not know, Maria, is that we have this great group of millennials that are moving into Washington. There's like 1,000 millennials that move in every month. So that, I think, is a really important thing. And also what Greg's doing, I think, appeals to those people. You know,
exactly.
I don't know. There are a lot of 65-year-old people sitting around, you know, going out to hear stand-up comedy, but certainly young people do. And
right.
They're a really, really important group for us.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, Greg, are there venues in D.C. that you have that are established comedy places?
Well, we have permission. We have to coordinate with another comedy show there, but we have permission to do Ben's Chili Bowl. That was the first one I was trying
all
to
right.
get to. So hopefully we'll be able to get a show in there pretty quickly. There's I have my eye on a few other ones. There's Tacoma Station near in Tacoma, D.C. side of Tacoma, near the Metro Station, and a few others. I'm hoping that you know, once we get a few things up and out, that people will also volunteer their venues to help support. So.
So this is a big project. You need help.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You're one person.
Yes. I just needed to get the, I guess, groundwork and the ideas together and, you know, a logo and a bunch of other things like that, just so that we can, you know, say that this is what we're doing. And now, you know, that's where I am. I'm trying to get the initial group of people to, you know, help get it off the ground, push us off from the docks.
Well, you know, certainly I want to be involved in this, Greg, and my office will do whatever we can to help you. And, you know, we've had people run. We have several people who have run for public office and who care about this issue in D.C. that own venues. You know, we have there's one guy that owns a wine bar on 14th Street. There's, of course, Andy Shalal, who owns the Busboys and Poets, which is a great – they have a great venue for stand-up comedy. If you're familiar with these restaurants, they have – they put on events all the time. So I'm sure we could get Andy and some of those other people involved and interested in showcasing your work. And I hope you'll get some of your comics once you get this worked out – to come on Shadow Politics, and maybe we'll do a show of just, you know, an hour of listening to a few of them and laughing at their jokes. We could do
a joke off.
We could see if their jokes are better than my how many Washingtonians does it take to screw in a light bulb.
Let's not go back. Greg, coming from Los Angeles, I have had a career in the entertainment industry. So as a side note, let me know about the DC comics that you know of, and I'll see if I know people who know people kind of thing, too, because I'm happy to help on my way behind the scenes.
Oh, terrific.
Because I know comics, but I don't know if they're from DC. So I'm going to employ them anyway to see if I can get some bleeding hearts. Because some of them do cerebral kind of humor, which is the thinking man's humor, if you will. I don't know how we can make that unpolitically correct word. But so I'm happy to help on the West Coast also.
Well, terrific. That'd be great. I was hoping to, I guess, before we wrap up today, maybe get some emails, and I can shoot you everything, and hopefully I can start the speaking to you this week, and we could all move things forward.
I'll make sure that Karen in our office, Greg, who's been in touch with you, gets you both Maria's email and my email, and let's carry this forward.
Well, because it's another layer of the mission that, Michael, you've been banging this drum on for.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it's attracting a younger demographic who might be moved to do something. And, you know, with social media being what it is, who knows, it could take fire, could go viral, all of that good stuff that does happen sometimes. That's why I was glad to hear you say about a YouTube channel, because that's important, too. So
yes,
all of that is great.
Yes, I'm. I'm looking forward to, really having as many people as would like to be involved to be able to really dig their teeth in, and I think there's something that a lot of people that really want to do something and actually do something that has, an area that not too many people are addressing, and can really make a difference and can work on. So I've done a little bit with Organizing for Action, I found that a lot of times, you know, people are focused nationally on some very important issues, but that leaves, you know, nobody really interested in D.C. And I thought about it, you know, I'll be going to some town halls and things like that. I'll have my, you know, Stand Up for D.C. t-shirt on. And I'd like to, we have on our website some of the actions that people can take, and that's one of them. I'd like to see a lot of people go to town halls and, of course, ask their representatives the things that are related to their area. But to just ask one question at each town hall, if possible, and that it would be where they stand on representative democracy and the nation's capital, and what they're going to do about it, not whether they're just in theory supportive of it, but, you know, what are they actually doing to make that happen? And I realized that if I went to, let's say, Kansas, and I was in their town hall, it would be kind of odd to ask a question about, well, let me put it this way. If I were in a D.C. town hall asking about Kansas, people would probably think I was, you know, crazy. So I could imagine that people outside of D.C., you know, give absolutely no thought to asking about D.C. because, you know, that's not where they live. So that I think we really have to focus on.
Well, and that's a big problem for us, is that people in California are supportive. You know, they certainly support our legislation, more California representatives than any other state. But then again, it's not their problem. It's our problem.
Yeah.
So really, they don't. A lot of them don't relate to it. And you're absolutely right again, Greg, about the local thing. There are people in Washington that know more about national politics than they know about local politics, because that's what they focus on.
Oh, well, right.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Just real quick, I had a DC TV crew with me, and we interviewed after the last election, the mayoral election, and you know, so many people really. I mean, I think we're lulled asleep. We get that little "I voted" sticker,
right.
And a lot of people think that they, you know, they voted. And we were covering that. Yeah, you're voting for this, but, you know, that and dog catcher and a few other things, you know, that's
right.
Not, you know, they don't tell you if you go to war or not.
Right, right. That's absolutely right. And I don't think people get that locally enough. So I think, you know, that's a very important point. Well, tell us, Greg, one thing you want to tell us that we haven't asked you, or anything you want to add before we let you go?
Well, we've covered a lot, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'd say that we are definitely launching right now. So to get enough momentum to come out of the blocks fast, anybody that's interested, this would be the week to you know, check out standupfordc.org, and you know, I think more than anything else, how we get off at the outset will propel this forward in a way that could really ensure its success. So the final thought I'd say is that, you know, where people are starting to realize now that there is a threat, we're not totally immune to ever having authoritarian control in this country, and like Dr. King said, that, you know, an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere.
Yes.
We in D.C. have been under, basically, when it comes to federal policy, authoritarian control. We don't have any representation. And those that, if you see the importance of it, now that, you know, some things are coming about, and it looks like there's really not much enforcement of it for the country, then you can appreciate a little bit more of what it is to not have it in D.C. So if we fix this, it would be part and parcel of you know, ensuring that democracy is strong in the U.S. All over.
Well, and I'm going to say something on your behalf that you didn't mention and we've alluded to earlier. If you're listening to the program and you have some time and you want to help, please, by all means, get in line. Because I'm sure, yeah, I can just visualize all of the things that need to be done, especially when you're talking venues and you're talking manpower and you're talking publicity and marketing and all. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You cannot do this alone. You need help.
Yeah. To be honest, I just got a couple people. I've had some people that have expressed the desire to help, and we're organizing that now. So I do have some, but I can definitely use a lot more, because there are all of those areas from that you mentioned, everything from anything that a regular business would have. There's a department for that and what we're doing.
Maria, and you know, Maria is smart and funny, and I'm funny looking. So together, we're, you know, maybe we can get something. And obviously, I'm a budding joke writing talent.
There you go.
And maybe we can get something together and get it moving here, Greg, because I think this is a great idea.
Look out, SAG and AFTRA. We've got our next member coming up.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, and not that I'm likening this to a business. I think everything. I think each person is their own personal business, and they have to take care of their finances and their marketing and their product development and so on. So even though this we're doing as a nonprofit, it will be it'll have all those departments, just like anything else. A church has all the departments. Everything has if it's organized, it has a similar structure to a business, because it has to function in so many different areas. So that's kind of what I meant there.
So that's where you are, America. Go on to Greg's website and sign up to do something. It'll be fun, and you'll be making a better world, because that's another thing that Dr. King said. He said, involve yourself in the struggle, commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. So have fun, commit yourself to this civil rights struggle, and let's move it forward. Thanks so much.
And we'll have a lot of laughs doing it.
You
excellent.
Know?
Stand up to dc.org.
All right.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks for being on the show. I hope you come back as things progress.
Thanks for having me, and hopefully I'll talk to you soon.
All right, good.
Look forward to the conversation.
Okay,
so, Michael, you were just at an event yesterday with a rally.
Yeah.
Do you want to share what that was like?
Yeah, you know what? It was a retreat for one of – and it's funny. What a great segue. This must be, you know, your gut instinct as a professional broadcaster. But the name of the group was Stand Up for Democracy, and it was their retreat. And Stand Up is a group that was started years ago when the control board – took over Washington, D.C. And if you don't know this, if you're out listening to our show and you don't know this, at at one point in the 1980s, when Washington was having a financial crisis, they really declared martial law in the district. The federal government came in and they appointed a group of people to be the control board, which meant that the mayor and the city council and all the elected officials had no power. The only thing that we were allowed to do for this several-year period was to run the park service. We were recreation. We did park and recreation. Everything else, the federal government ran through this control board. And there were a few people. Yeah. And there were a few people. One of the founders of the group that's still the head of the group, Anise Jenkins, who put together this group because they you know, there's no other city in the country that they've ever done this to. You know, there have been financial crises in Philadelphia and New York and New Orleans.
That's right.
And probably Los Angeles. So who knows? But they've never taken – they've never done that in another city because they can't really, right? But here in Washington, D.C., they did. So, you know, and there's also, Maria, this is just to cover some recent news. First of all, we're now up to 134 co-sponsors on our legislation in the House, the most we've ever had. But also, Puerto Rico had a referendum, and they've decided to go for statehood. And they're going to follow the same plan that D.C. does. So there is following. So they're going to appoint two senators. Now, they're not going to elect their senators. They're going to appoint them, which is the way senators were originally. You know, they amended the Constitution to have election of senators. Originally, they were appointed by the governor. So the governor is going to has appointed these people, and he's appointed five representatives, because that's how many congressmen or representatives they would get. And he's appointed two senators, and the people that he's appointed, look, these people are in Puerto Rico are really going after it. Both senators are former governors of Puerto Rico.
Wow.
One of the representatives is a former governor of Puerto Rico. One of the representatives is the former president of the Puerto Rican Senate. And one of the representatives is a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer named Ivan Rodriguez. So, you know, they're putting some muscle behind this in appointing, top government people and celebrities to the board. So in Washington here, the groups that are involved are starting to consider what our next steps are going to be, right? Because now in we want to perhaps band together with Puerto Rico in our quest for statehood. You know, we also have to plan a strategy. Now, we don't have one Republican on the statehood bills for the district, but Puerto Rico's put in their statehood bills, and they already have 9 Republicans. So, Republicans like, you know, the problem that they have with D.C., and I try to be honest about this because I've been a Democrat my whole life, is that we're so Democratic in
How
blue we are, and Puerto Rico is not as much. So,
It's funny too, because when I initially started the program with you, our congressman he and his wife are friends of mine, and when I told him about what shadow politics was, he was like, "Well, our county has more people than that. Why don't we get that too? Why would anyone do that?" And when I think about that comment, it's like, we already have the right to vote. You're not giving us anything other than we're not asking for statehood. You know, I mean, that's how, and he was in Congress for 33 years. So you've got bad information out there too, because that's not the point.
Absolutely. And we say that all the time. You know, we've also heard the comment. We had one Republican congressman from Texas, a guy named Gohmert, that said, "Well, every military base over 100,000, which is also, or over 10,000, which is also a federal enclave, should have their own representatives and senators. And we said, they do. Right. You know, right.
Last time I checked,
right,
doesn't matter where they are in the world, they can still vote.
Right. And they can vote in their home state and they do have representation. You know, so that's the thing. There is a lot of misinformation out there. And there is a lot of not comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. You know, it's, you know, I had a woman stand up and say to me very succinctly, this is the way the founding fathers wanted it. And I looked at her and I said, the founding fathers didn't want you to vote either.
Right.
So, you know, so
good
it
point.
Wasn't. Yeah. I mean, look, they created the world's greatest government. It's the longest lasting government in the world, our democracy. So they did a brilliant job, but they were not inclusive. They weren't inclusive, guys. They didn't let Native Americans vote or women or even veterans. They didn't even let veterans who didn't own property vote and who weren't over the age of 21. So, you know, it's all about making a more perfect union, which is, you know, how
the thing about it, who could have foreseen something 2 centuries in advance?
Right.
You know, they couldn't think about everything. They weren't magicians. They didn't have a magic ball. And so most of, you know, I would probably argue maybe 5/6, maybe 9/10 of what they did was pure and strong and true. And then some of it just needs a little tinkering with modern day realities.
Right. That's,
you know, just a little bit.
And that's what this is. It's a political anachronism. It's a holdover from a time where maybe it did make sense. I don't know. Maybe it made sense in 1789 or 1801 when the city was founded to make sure that, you know, Congress was in control. And our attempt to become a state even pays homage to that fact in that we redesign Washington, D.C. so that that which is the federal government remains the capital and remains the federal enclave. It's just that the rest of the area beyond the mall, beyond the Capitol, beyond the White House becomes the state. And so that way we don't even interfere with what the original logic was behind creating a nation's capital. So, yeah, there's a lot of misinformation out there, and we've got to get it out there.
Michael, I'm curious, though, about the Puerto Rico aspect. I'm current with the news. This is the first I've heard of it. Why is that?
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't think that this is, you know, I don't think this is, like our
sexy
guest said, it just doesn't make the news. You know, it's not. Look at the issues that are out there right now. Health care. These are things that affect people. Whether Puerto Rico becomes a state or not is not as important to most people as their health care. It's not as important as
the
other
things. Yeah, but
that's a story
that keeps unfolding day after day after day after day. You think that that would go to the foreground. But how many people, what's their population in Puerto Rico?
Over 3 million.
Oh,
so they get, five representatives. Yeah, and one thing you should know about, it's not an uncontroversial issue, even in Puerto Rico, because the election, only 25% of the registered voters showed up to vote in the election. So you can't even say the majority of people in Puerto Rico want this. The majority of voters want it. But, you know, and as you probably know, Maria, because we've talked about it on the show, Puerto Ricans don't pay income tax. So, and if they become a state, they will. So that's a big issue for them.
Very big. And I told you, I was there in April, and I asked from cab drivers to shopkeepers, and everyone wanted to keep the status quo that I spoke to, which is basically the working folks. So I don't know about the hierarchy in that regard, but I was like, oh, wow, I didn't. I thought people wanted it.
And like America,
I talked to,
and like the rest of America, then they didn't show up to vote. That this is their attitude, but then they didn't show up to vote, and you know, that's a problem right across the board on many things. Well, here we are, out of time again.
Yeah, and sorry for the technical glitch.
That's all right. We'll straighten it out during the week. Yes, we're sorry for that. And next week we're going to be back with another guest. This time we're going to talk about another politically correct thing, which is we're going to have the first person to put X on their driver's license in the District of Columbia under sex, which is a new law that the city council has just passed. So I think that'll be an interesting discussion on human rights, civil rights, and we hope you'll join us for that. And
yep,
again, thank you, Maria.
Of course,
and we're going to say goodbye to you tonight with a tribute to Greg. Here's an oldie but a goodie from the Guess Who called Laughing. We'll see you next week.
I should laugh, but I cry, because your love has passed me by. You took me by surprise, you didn't realize that I was waiting. Time goes slowly, but carries on, and now the best years have come and gone. You took me by surprise.
Representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.